This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. We're kicking off the second hour of the program here. You can join us and bring up whatever is on your mind. We were talking about the prediction by at least one so-called AI thought leader, yeah.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, that AI is going to be generating 90% of the online content.
We talk about it so much, we should just start calling ourselves like...
AI Talk Live?
Yeah, no, Bonnie Freeman, AI thought leader and activist.
Right, now, I mean, why can't you just declare yourself a thought leader? Anyway, it's an interesting prediction, and it is certainly something we've been talking a lot more about. I mean, it's a discussion that had come up in the past on Free Talk Live prior to 2021 and 2022, but it really started hitting heavy in 2022 with the arrival of these AI art generators over the summertime, which seemed when they really started to blow up on the scene, and now with these chatbots in more recent months as well. We did investigate AI music generation one night on the show, and it's coming along. It ain't that really great at the moment, but give it time, and they're going to get a lot better. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I don't remember being very impressed with AI music generation.
Not yet. But, again, they're still working on some of this stuff. It's the music and the video. That's going to be the hardest stuff to do, right?
Right.
Because it's going to be harder to pass those things off. I mean, we already see the errors in the art that it generates. A lot of times it'll generate two heads on a human or six fingers or 10 fingers instead of 5 fingers
on one hand.
Yeah, I mean, we have a generate coconut. We trained the
dog.
The AI, yeah, thank you, yeah, to trained it on like 20 pictures of coconut. And it does a pretty good job of generating a portrait of coconut wearing different things or putting him in different circumstances. But a lot of times he'll have like two extra feet instead of 4 feet. He'll have 5 or 6 or something
like that. A weird body that seems to be made of like... multiple different parts of him all mixed together with just the head sticking off, and it's really freaking creepy.
Yeah, it gets a little weird sometimes. So it's definitely not there yet, even just with the image generation. So imagining it putting together a full-length, minute-long short film is kind of hard to believe at the moment, but...
Well, image was always going to come first, because image, as you mentioned, is so much easier, and it's something the average person understands and can somewhat do. They may not be the best drawing, but everyone understands the concept of drawing or painting a picture.
Right.
Not everyone understands even what is involved in creating a 3-minute-long song.
Or a 3-minute-long film. There's a lot of work that goes into these things.
Yeah, sometimes I think about, like, I've never looked it up, to be honest. But sometimes I'm just like, how do people make animations out of drawings? Like, how do they do that outside of... taking a picture, drawing the next step.
Well, that's the old way of doing it, yeah.
Right? So how do they do it now?
They have tools, computer tools that make it easier for them. I mean, the South Park guys, I think, started the handmade way. And in the old days, you would then hire out the animation to Asia, where it could be done much cheaper to do it the hand-drawn way. But now computers probably do a lot of it.
Basically, all I mean is just like the fact that there's a way to do that really blows my mind.
Indeed. Computers are definitely helping make things faster, make things better. But are they going to take over completely? Well, that's what some people think. Let's go to the phones here. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name?
Ralph.
Ralph, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't know if you all had heard about the Rasmussen survey report that they did on December 28th to the 30th. And it's about the COVID thing.
Oh,
and they found... You hadn't heard about that?
I don't think so. What was it?
Okay, well, they found that, I mean, Rasmussen, that's a pretty big outfit.
It is.
You know? Yep. They found that when they were questioning people on this, they found that 49% of American adults believe it is likely that side effects of the COVID mRNA vaccine injections have caused a significant number of unexplained deaths.
Mm.
And 28% say it's very likely. Mm. And then they asked the question, do you personally know anyone whose death you think may have been caused by side effects of the COVID-19 vaccines? Mm-hmm. 28% of the people questioned say yes.
Wow.
That's 73 million people.
I mean, that's certainly alarming, but science isn't settled by democracy. It doesn't matter to me if 100% of the people polled say, yes, I think the vaccine absolutely has positive, negative side effects. They don't know.
Wait, how many million people were polled?
No. He's extrapolating the numbers based on the poll. So they only usually poll like 1,000 to 2,000 people. You figure if there's this many percent of the 1,000, then you can extrapolate that out to the larger population. Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
Now, you do realize that, the VARS, the reporting mechanism that the CDC has, where if you feel that you've been injured or something by the vaccine, around 34,000 people have reported that they're someone like a relative or somebody in a family has died from the vaccine. And most of the deaths that are happening from the vaccine happen almost immediately afterwards.
Hmm.
Like it's a huge number within 24 hours, then almost as big a number as the second day, third day, it tapers off. But I don't know if you knew that back when, before they had boosters, I'm not sure now, but, you know, there was like a two-shot regime that people were given. And if you died from up to 14 days after the second shot, if you died during that period, you were considered unvaccinated.
Hmm. As far as the statistics are concerned, that way they wouldn't count.
They did lots of silly things like that. Like in 2021, when they started rolling them out, maybe like March, they counted everyone from even, they counted all deaths even from all the way up from German Earth, January that year. And they said, oh, look, the percentage of people dying is mostly vaccinated, even though they included a huge number of people in the months that couldn't have gotten vaccinated. They do things like that all the time to skew the numbers.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm surprised Rasmussen did this poll.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It was shocking, but now are you aware of all the athletes that have died?
Oh yeah, yeah. You keep seeing this story after story of young, you know, healthy, purportedly athletes just keeling over on the field. I mean, I don't remember this happening before. But the thing is that the benefit that the pharmaceutical companies have is causation, or rather correlation, is not causation, right? So just because somebody has gotten the vaccine and then keels over on a sports field doesn't necessarily mean that it happened because of the vaccine. So they get to wash their hands of this and say, well, you can't prove it. So
well,
therefore,
Dr. Peter McCullough, do you know who he is?
I don't know.
I've heard of him.
Okay, he's probably one of the top two or three. He's right up there with John Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Mm-hmm. and Dr. Malone.
Okay.
Well, they did a study just recently, like several weeks ago, and they studied in Europe, because this had been happening in Europe for almost a year. I've been following it, and if anybody wants to see this, Jay Wilderness on YouTube, his channel, he did a series, What's Going On? And it's like 11-part series, and he does it by the month. And he shows the athletes just dropping on the field like flies, you know. But anyway, Dr. McCullough did a study, and they found that the normal amount of athletes, this is talking about in Europe, right, semi-pro and pro, normally there's like maybe 29, not maybe, but 29 per year average of myocarditis or heart-related issues.
Okay.
And now it's 1,598. So then he went down to Yeah, and these are like total athletes and related personnel. So then he went down to active players under 35. So, again, pre-vaccine it was 29. Mm-hmm. Now it's 283. I mean, that's almost 10 times the amount.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you got people like doctors and nurses. Our friend and co-host Nikki, who is a trained nurse, she had worked in a hospital during the whole COVID thing. She saw with her own eyes more people coming in with heart conditions, with myocarditis, with, you know,
and
these
issues.
And
she saw more young people having, like, strokes and myocarditis and
stuff. Yeah, and I think her mom also worked, or somebody she knew, some relative she had also was working in healthcare and could also comment on that, something that was happening out in California. So it wasn't just something that was happening in Massachusetts where Nikki was working. It was also being seen elsewhere. So there's definitely...
Everywhere.
Yeah, there's definitely all these indicators of some, you know, strange things that are happening. And then you've got the movie Died Suddenly that came out a little bit earlier, like a couple months ago, which is also very, very interesting about people that are having their arteries clogged essentially with this, what is it, protein?
Blood clots that just are not normal.
Well,
and now the are finding that after people die, their bodies are like super warm. You know, they're like way above the temperature that they normally are. So, you know, there's weird things happening all over, and it's all tied in to this magic shot that everybody lined up for.
It's tied in. That's the one thing they can't do, is they can't tie it in. And that's how these pharmaceutical companies, if this is indeed something that's coming from the shot, is how they're going to get away with it. Because you'll never be able to prove it. What were you going to say, Bob?
I was going to say, I think it's weird that in Died Suddenly, they didn't even attempt to question or answer what the things were that were coming out of the veins. So
yeah,
that was
weird,
kind of weird to me. Like they didn't even say, what is this? Or, oh, I'm a scientist. Let me test what it's made of. So you said proteins, but I don't
that's
know.
That's what I heard somewhere. I don't know where.
There
I
were many
that.
Things in it that sounds, well, protein could basically mean anything, mm-hmm. right? I mean, there were many things in Die Suddenly that were weird and alarming. And mm-hmm. it's just important to keep in mind that, you know, you can't believe everything you see on the Internet.
Nope, you can't.
Yeah,
that's equally true of YouTube videos.
You also know that our side that has tried to point this out has been severely censored. And when the White House had $13 billion they floated out for a vaccine promotion campaign, it kind of makes you suspicious.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've been suspicious from day one.
All these influencers on the Internet, mm-hmm. athletes, movie stars, they were getting
right,
money to go out and promote this.
Sure.
The pro-vaccine side lies, but so does the anti-vaccine side. It's full of liars, too.
Twitter was getting paid, and Facebook was getting paid by the federal government to promote these vaccines and to repress anybody that was questioning them. So, I mean, it's definitely been a heavily one-sided discussion for years, and now, of course, we're seeing that the conspiracy theorists were absolutely right in virtually everything that they said about a lot of this stuff that was going on with the COVID misinformation and that sort of thing. But you are correct, Aria. The anti-vax side, not all of them, but there are some people who will stretch the truth and who will not tell the whole truth.
Some people have a narrative to perpetuate, and maybe they get their facts wrong, or maybe they're just mistaken, or maybe they're outright malicious, but these things propagate, and then they get spread on Facebook, and they get spread on YouTube and Twitter, and then they end up in YouTube videos, and it only gets worse from there. It just sort of snowballs.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate you bringing all that up here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160.
I think people just like to be really scared of things. I just think, I don't know, just with the vaccines, even if they are really hurting people, my kind of thought about it is to just be positive, and you know it can't hurt you if you didn't take it. And the only thing that sucks about it is like some of your loved ones may have taken it, and all you can do is try to tell them to eat healthily and exercise, and they're probably less likely to get hurt.
There's something wrong with this widespread idea that the vaccines are killing people or hurting people or whatever. That's that people aren't dropping dead of the vaccine in the streets. That they have the anti-vax people, they have the same problem that the anti-COVID people have, and that the streets aren't filling with bodies of people who died from getting this vaccine. Sure, some people are dying, but some people also died of COVID-19.
Yeah.
So, I mean, supposedly people died in all these cases, but they have the same problem. They're not acknowledging that, oh, yeah, maybe we freaked out a little. Maybe there's not a plot to destroy the human genome with this vaccine.
Well, when you say people aren't dying in the streets, you mean they're not dying regularly in the streets because
they're dying less than people died during COVID-19, from what I can tell.
How do we know? I mean, we don't see it.
Right.
Right.
Well, except from what I can tell.
There's videos of people just keeling over online. There's these. I saw one of a news reporter the other day just keeling over, and then there's.
We saw those out of China as well prior to the outbreak of COVID-19. The Dr. Chen YouTube mm-hmm. channel was or Telegram channel was leaking videos from people who were dying spontaneously in China.
Yes, and that sparked a lot of fears around catching COVID-19.
I was one of them, and then I realized that these videos were probably just fake.
But in this case, these aren't fake videos. These are videos of people who did get the vaccine, who in some cases. We're in the middle of promoting the vaccine, like the comedian that was joking about it, and she keels over. And then there apparently was another video of some politician blathering on about the vaccine, and she keels over. I mean, and these aren't like 80-year-old people, right? Like these are people who are relatively young age.
The other thing is just the injuries. Like Nikki said during the end of 2020 or the beginning of 2021 when she was still a nurse before she quit, that she would ask her doctor, like, how many people are in the COVID unit right now? And I'd be like, 2. But they were overflowing with people, like more people than had ever been there because of myocarditis, strokes, young people who have to get their arm cut off because of, you know, blood issues, like stuff that has never been so prolific.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they didn't die, but...
Yeah, and who knows, you know, what this stuff actually is. Of course, the mRNA technology, they're editing your genes, basically, through these shots, and God knows what the actual intention of that stuff is. I did see something recently, and I guess I didn't make a note about it, but essentially the story was that there's no evidence at all that COVID-19 vaccinations have affected the deaths from COVID.
I believe it.
So they charted.
As funny as it is.
Yeah, they charted the total number of deaths, right? So over time, the chart continues to go up.
You would expect it to go down after the invention of the vaccine
or
and the
at least
adoption.
Dip, yeah. Right? Like, maybe not go down because people are still going to keep catching it, right? Like
maybe.
So it was just a total number, right? Like, so it wasn't a by the months. It was a cumulative number. So the cumulative number is going to keep going up. But what they showed was the cumulative number was continuing to go up at the same rate. Even when the vaccinations came out. So they show on the chart when the vaccinations started, and it just keeps going up at the same rate. So if the vaccinations were effective, or even somewhat effective, you would expect the rate to dip.
At least a little bit, yeah. Right? At least 1%.
Yeah. No. Nope. and that suggests that maybe this vaccination is something else.
That's
what conspiracy theorists have been suggesting.
But what it is, it remains unknown, and it's certainly
that's
not
right.
That they're trying to kill everyone or anything like that, because it's just not very effective
it's
at
not
doing
that. Yeah, that's true. COVID-19 is not killing everyone, and the vaccine isn't killing everyone either.
Right.
Right?
That has been my thought process about the vaccine recently, because during the whole unknown period when they were just promoting it and people were just starting to get it, I would always think, if it's just to kill everyone, why would they do that? Because only the obedient people are taking it. Lots of people brought that up, and it's a question that is very valid.
You wouldn't want to kill the obedient. You would want to kill those of us who did not. You would want to immunize those people against some future disease that you would unleash that would kill us who did not get the vaccine.
Exactly. I agree. So what I've been thinking recently is just that it's some kind of thing that will edit your genes to where they can do something, roll out something else in the future. Like in the SpongeBob movie, I've thought about this a lot in relation to the vaccine. I don't know what year this came out. I was like less than 10. But the SpongeBob movie, Plankton, the bad guy who owns a restaurant across from SpongeBob's restaurant, comes out with a brilliant idea to finally get customers because he never had customers because SpongeBob's restaurant, Krusty Krab, was better. So he starts selling little tiny hats with each burger, like a Happy Meal.
Okay.
And it makes everybody like line up to go get Chum Bucket, that's the Plankton's restaurant.
So he gives them free samples, is that right? Did I follow that correctly?
He gives them hats. So it's like a free hat / toy that comes with, and everybody's walking around wearing the hats and they're so proud of their hats and they make fun of each other for not getting the hat yet and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, Plankton, he's like an evil scientist too, he has this satellite thing that comes out of the Chum Bucket and he presses a button, all the hats, start mind controlling all the people at once.
And you're saying this could be done with the vaccination?
If people's vax or genes have now been edited to be able to receive some signal from, you know, space, and whenever somebody presses a button, it starts telling them all to do a thing, you know.
I mean, it sounds kind of science fiction to me, but
a week ago, I would have said that having your legs lengthened in surgery was science fiction.
Yeah.
But we've since learned that that's a medical possibility. What else is a medical possibility? And, and the elites, I mean, in as much as there are elites, the Bilderberg Group, we know that there are some sort of ultra-rich, wealthy people out there.
World Economic Forum, right now.
They would be the type of person to spend massive amounts of money figuring out exactly how to control the entire population.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll never control the entire population. Right, right. So you kill the ones that you can't control.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that.
Sure.
These are evil people. They say evil things like this all the time. They've got to be working on it.
Oh, that's what the government schools are for. Right? That's what they've been doing for over 100 years, and maybe the vaccination is some other next step in that whole process. What it'll lead to, I don't know.
It seems to me that they always play the long game.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't see it now.
Mm-hmm.
No, but 50 years from now, people will realize the people won't realize the ramifications, but 50 years from now, the ramifications of the COVID-19 vaccine will really be propagated throughout all of society, I guess, is the way I'm looking to say it.
If you want to join the show here and share what you think is going on, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Since we were talking about AI-related things, there's a story here from TheHill.com that a lot of people apparently prefer robots over humans.
Yeah, humans give them anxiety. I can see this entirely. Right, you give somebody the option of chatting with a bot to fix their customer service issue or talking with an actual human. I suspect most people under the age of 30, at least, are going to choose the bot. I wouldn't, because I've dealt with bots before, and I know how humans on the other end are just as stupid as the bots. They're really just reading the script as well.
That
so
can be true.
I don't know if I would really. I would say the human off of instinct, but as I think more about it, I'm like, that you're just dealing with an unthinking automaton anyway, so.
I would say if it's something simple, like a lot of times with my bank, if it's something really simple, I'll just use the bot because it's easier and I don't have to. Well, so I don't know why. I just, for some reason, wouldn't want to talk to a human if I didn't have to. But if it's something like I got to explain this to someone, then I want to talk to a human.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because a bot can respond immediately and you know you're not inconveniencing anyone? You're not putting any work on anyone by getting this bot to respond to you instantly? Because I think that's probably part of my concern with it. Right? A human has to generate an email and respond to me. A bot can do it instantly. It means nothing to the bot, but a human has to actually sit down and spend some amount of time working on the problem.
Well, it's their job. I mean, it doesn't bother me to have somebody do their job.
It kind of does me.
All right, there's more coming up here at 603-283-6160. If they're not doing the job, then a robot sure as hell will in the future. There's more coming up, though. Do you prefer dealing with robots over actual human beings? It's Free Talk Live.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
USA News Update. The White House says there are no visitor logs from President Biden's personal residence in Delaware. It's the home where classified documents have been discovered. Former President Trump weighing in a post on Truth Social. Trump bragged that the files found at his Mar-a-Lago estate last summer were better protected than the ones found in Biden's home. More fears of floods and mudslides as California braces for another round of snow and rain. Some areas of the state have already received their annual rainfall in just the last 2 weeks. The FAA launching an investigation into a near-miss incident at JFK Airport. All began when a departing Delta flight taking off from a runway was forced to stop midway because an American Airlines plane crossed that same runway. Brian Healy was on the Delta flight.
It was very silent for a couple of seconds, felt like a lot longer than that, and then there was a sense of relief.
Delta called the incident a successful aborted takeoff procedure and said a full review is underway. John Schaefer, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join the show here and bring up whatever you want. Question on the table at the moment, according to TheHill.com, is being answered every day by people, is, are you more comfortable dealing with a robot than dealing with an actual human being? Whether it be needing help on a telephone line or maybe in real life at a grocery checkout, which is what they're going to bring up here to start the story. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
Don't forget, you can join us online anytime over at freetalklive.com, and you can support the show in a variety of different ways. Of course, one of the easiest ones is to share what we do. In fact, we've got our TikTok channel over at tiktok.freetalklive.com, where on occasion when we feel so moved, we'll put some sort of video clip up there for you, and if you like it, then share it out as you wish. Of course, we're going to be there probably until we get bored with it, or until TikTok gets bored with us and bans our channel. So for now, it's there over at tiktok.freetalklive.com. All right, so here's a story from The Hill. This was written by Roger Cacchetti. It's an opinion piece.
I'm thinking more about this basic idea, too, that people would just generally prefer to chat with an AI. And it's also got something to do with, like, there's a certain expectation with a human that I have to, and I don't have to, but I should, and I need to, and I want to acknowledge their the fact that they're an emotional existing being as well. Like, if I'm sitting there on, you know, Sprint's website or something, I get some annoying chat message, hey, do you need help or whatever? I just
Which is obviously not a person.
Right, I go, go away, you stupid bot, and I just close the stupid thing. But what if there was some human on the other end who sent you that message? Suddenly everything's changed and you feel terrible.
Yeah, they're upset now.
Yeah, and you're like, I can't just close out of that and not acknowledge this person's existence.
I was just
That's
trying to
help.
Up.
Right? So you chat back, oh, yeah, I'm fine or whatever. Like, when you go into a store and the cashier's like, hey, need anything help? Yeah,
that. You want to say, go away, you stupid idiot.
I never want to say that.
No, but if it was an AI, you'd be like, shut up, AI, I got this. Or would just ignore its existence. But you can't do that with a human.
Not when they just say hi, but when they say, hello, let me know if you need anything. Over here, we have these things with these red tags on. So I'm just like, oh, my God, why?
That almost never happens.
That happens in clothing stores. It doesn't happen in, like, gas stations.
Gotcha. So here's a story from The Hill. It was a busy weekend at the local supermarket, and lines were forming at the checkout. Around half a dozen people lined up at the automated checkout registers when I noticed there was no line at the checkout where a human cashier was waiting. When a customer approached the checkout area, they scanned the options and decided to wait in line for the automated checkout.
That's got to be an anomaly, though, because I go to these places all the time, and I'm going to use whichever one's open, man.
Sure. I get you.
If they're both full, I'll definitely go to the robots because it's usually faster. But if, you know, humans open and the robots are full, then I'm definitely going to go to the human. And I agree with Aria. It's what I see happening.
That tends to be what I see as well, but this person observed something different. And who knows, it doesn't say which city they're in. But it may be a city person thing more so than
it could
elsewhere.
Be a city, or maybe it was a thing with this particular store, this particular cashier or whatever. Maybe they had a history of bad customer service. I don't know. I just know in my experience, people don't care that much. They care far more about getting in and out than they do about, oh, God forbid I talk to a human being.
You don't really have to talk to a cashier.
In this case, he actually spoke to the customer, the person who was looking, the person who, again, was seeing this situation, seeing there's half a dozen people waiting for the automated checkout and absolutely no one in the human checkout. The person asked that particular customer. He says, I couldn't resist asking the customer why they chose to wait for a machine instead of getting immediate service from a human. Their response carries an important message for the future of artificial intelligence and the robots it enables. Quote, I don't want them, the human cashier is what they mean, looking at everything that I'm buying, and I don't care for their opinions of what I'm getting.
Don't worry, you're already getting your receipts tracked and everything by the robots, and they will know what you're buying.
I've dealt with this once at one store on one occasion where, like, the cashier remarked on every item, oh, buying some Oreos. Someone's having a snack. Like, look, just stop doing that.
Really?
Right now. Yes. I've only encountered it once in my entire life of shopping, and it was awful, and if it ever happened again, I would never have gone back. And that in my first shopping experience, absolutely, but that cannot be common. Both of you react like you never encountered it.
No,
I've only encountered it once.
Yeah, that's somebody who does not know how to professionally check out customers.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you just don't do that sort of thing. But this person did, and that's what they're talking about. I don't want this person looking at my stuff and judging it, but that's not what cashiers do.
Well, I've seen positive comments, right? Like, I've seen, like, oh, I tried this recently, and it was really good, right? Like, something like that.
When
I've seen that.
A cashier at Walmart sometimes, well, I wasn't really a cashier, but I'd have to do it sometimes. I was always really bored, and I would try to talk to the ones that seemed open to it, and sometimes I would just be like, is this good? Or something like that.
Yeah.
Or, like, how do you use this?
But you wouldn't ask it about, like, a feminine hygiene product or condoms or something, right?
Are
like, there's certain questions that you're just not going to ask. But I don't think it's a problem for somebody to say, oh, have you tried that flavor in lemon? You know, that happens.
Sure.
And that's fine.
Or I would just be like, oh, I like these. These are really good. But, yeah, I wouldn't be like, like you said, kidding.
Oh, Magnum condoms, huh? Okay. So while surveys on automated checkouts are limited and diverse, whatever that means, It's clear that people are divided in their views toward robot cashiers.
Sounds like an article that was written by an artificial intelligence, actually. It's like, although there's this negative thing, there's also this positive thing. We're going to be completely neutral here and hedge our bets in every direction so that we don't offend anyone.
That's exactly what they do.
The surveys are simultaneously limited and diverse. Okay. Well, anyway, about a third of people, according to the various surveys that are being done, prefer robot automated checkout over humans for various reasons. Similarly, bank ATMs, also robot tellers in a sense, have been widespread for half a century, but were preferred by some from the outset and are preferred over human tellers by a wide margin today. Perhaps more. Of course, the ATM isn't going to ask you any invasive questions about why you're getting money out of your account.
But the bank teller will. That's their job to. Yeah. It's not like the cashier at the store. That's their job not to. The bank teller is supposed to ask.
Yeah, I hate going to the bank even just, you know, to do something really simple because I would just wait. If I can go to an ATM, I would way rather go to an ATM than a teller because of exactly that. Like, I just care. I mean, I don't know. I'm just a private person. It's
well, that
weird.
Makes sense, right? Yeah. That makes sense.
Well, the teller always acts like you did something wrong.
Right.
Or like you're doing something wrong.
59%, according to a recent survey of New Yorkers, showed while most preferred more thorough traffic enforcement, 59% prefer speed cameras over human police officers, and 65% of blacks and 74% of Latinos preferred robot speed cops over human traffic police. That makes sense, because the speed camera is never going to throw you out of your car and beat you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? So
it's also not
that.
Going to, you know, give you a ticket because you're black while ignoring the white dude who doesn't get a ticket.
It's clear that a substantial element of the public prefers to deal with robots instead of human cashiers, tellers, and cops. While some of this has to do with minimizing time consumed, some has to do with the obvious fact that humans are opinionated, while machines often leave the impression that they're not. In reality, while the shopper I interviewed preferred the robot cashier over the human because they believed the machine would have no memory or opinion, many readers will immediately scoff that the robot cashier actually keeps a closer watch on the customer than does the human, and the robot never forgets.
I know that it keeps the closer watch on the human, but I don't believe that it can have an opinion like, oh, you're eating Oreos? Somebody's snacking. I don't think it, or maybe it's a possibility in technology. I don't think they give it to the checkout robots.
No, and it doesn't display a message even if it does have an awareness.
No, but this is why they want you to use that stupid CVS card that doesn't actually give you any sort of discount, and if it does, it's like 10 cents off every $25 or something completely negligible.
They want to track
it got so bad in like 2019. It used to be a lot better. They used to like give you, I don't know what they were called, but like CVS. Oh, wait, I'm thinking of Walgreens.
Well, it's all of these places. The they all have some sort of membership program, and it's just so they can create a database of things that you buy.
Absolutely.
Right. I think so, too.
Nonetheless, machines can leave a different impression. Nor would it be surprising if we learned the victims of Nazi oppression or of Jim Crow would have preferred presumably neutral robot police to bigoted human police. This phenomenon of some people preferring robots, in this case, apparently an apparently neutral robot, over an opinionated human, becomes more important as we enter an era of AI-enabled robots, and it may partly explain why AI-enabled robots enjoy public support, despite warning from prominent figures ranging from Henry Kissinger to former Google boss Eric Schmidt about the risks of unfettered AI.
What did Henry Kissinger say about it?
No idea. If someone suspects that opinionated humans in authority intend to do them or their family harm, then that person will probably prefer an apparently neutral AI-enabled robot over an obviously bigoted human.
It makes me sad, though, that people can't think outside of that paradigm and just think, oh, we shouldn't be punished for going a little over the speed limit by, you know, cops that are human or cops that are robot.
As we recently saw in San Francisco, however, when a robot is equipped to physically harm a human, an entirely different set of public attitudes emerge. In this case, local police officials and officers propose to use armed robots to violently deal with suspects in situations where human police officers and civilians would be in imminent danger.
Let me guess, there was extreme pushback against this idea, and they quickly abandoned it because they realized, oh, we're trying to build Terminators, and it turns out people don't want Terminators.
Yeah, we actually talked about that story when it happened here on Free Talk Live. I don't know if they abandoned it, though. I think it actually passed, if I recall correctly, San Francisco.
I could see why people would be more upset about that because of what we were talking about earlier about robots not having an emotional, like a human, you might be able to be like, look, don't kill. I mean, they're cops. They're automatons. But you might be able to be like, dude, don't kill me. I'll put the gun down, chill out. But a robot might just be like, threat perceived, shoot, you know?
And maybe you're in the right. You know, maybe this cop just wants to kill you. Maybe you're not holding a weapon, so you have to escape that situation. And people are like, well, that could never happen. It could happen. This cop is going to kill you. You're not holding a weapon. Your only way of surviving is to escape this situation, is to overpower this cop and get the hell out with your life. And then you can argue with some reasonable cop, but this one's convinced that you have a gun and he's going to kill you. Mm. If it's a robot, you're dead. You're not beating that robot in any sort of physical competition. Yet the odds may be low with the cop, but there's zero with a robot.
The story goes on and gets into kind of robots for military purposes, pointing out that, of course, robots never get tired, right? They don't complain. They don't mind being out in the elements, that sort of thing.
This is why we don't want them. This is why movies like Terminator and stuff like that, where there's a war against the machines, is such nonsense. They'll never tire. Those robots, they don't stop chasing. They don't miss their targets.
Yeah.
They'll annihilate humans, and that's the end of it. It will take them minutes.
Although there's no agreed definition of AI, almost all involved today would agree that AI involves some type of machine learning in which a computer-like device is able to, by itself, adjust to evolving conditions by taking those conditions into account and responding to the changed conditions. By this type of definition, nearly all remote-controlled robots and drones are evolving into autonomous robots, if for no other reason than that human commanders, officials, and executives conclude that in net, robots cost less than humans. As they do, the reasons why some people will prefer a robot to a person will become more pronounced and more controversial. And we are entering an era where people are being put into a situation, and most of it is through their own choice, but also because of the things they're being offered to choose from. We have young people who don't interact with one another anymore. They're more likely to be on an app purportedly with other people, but eventually who's to know if the other people are actually robots that they're interacting with or AI on these apps. We have the government locking people up in their own homes in 2020 and 2021 with the excuse of COVID, but taking that idea of being alone kind of to the next level, giving people the excuse to not have to go into work anymore, which I'm not criticizing per se. I think for some people that's the right thing to do, is to be able to work from home. It's certainly more convenient than, you know, driving 45 minutes or whatever in city traffic to an office and then having to drive back at the end of the day. So I'm not saying across the board that this is a bad thing, but a lot of that did lead to people leading even more solitary lives than ever before. And humans who are not interacting with other humans on a regular basis, or even an irregular basis, are also going to be more likely to choose an automated checkout, to choose robot solutions instead of a human option. And as things shift more in that direction, the human options will lessen over time, and the robotic AI options
aren't they listening? Are we watching this happening? Where like every store now has at least one automated checkout, and a lot of the times they don't even have a. I mean, they have a cashier there working, but they're not at the register.
I think the only one that doesn't is Market Basket. At least as far as grocers around here, they don't have any. They're all human.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, but Hannaford's got it big time. They've taken half of their. We're talking about regional grocery stores, by the way. They've taken at least half of their checkouts and turned that into an automated checkout.
Back when I worked at a commissary, which is a on-base grocery store on military bases, when I worked at a commissary that was on a very small military base, we had one human checkout and two robot checkouts. And I would see people all the time, especially young people would come. And they would look and see their options. They're all completely empty because there's, like, not that many people there. Mm-hmm. And they go to the
automated
robot, like, almost every single time.
Yep.
I don't know if part of that is because the baggers worked for only tips and some people are just like, I don't want to pay somebody to bag my groceries.
Could be.
That's fair.
Could be an economic incentive. Yeah.
Definitely the bigger baskets, they would go to the human most of the time. But if they just had the option, nobody in line, more than half of the time. And this was in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they would always choose the robot.
He says we're entering an era in which the use of AI-enabled robots, whether they're labeled drones, autonomous vehicles, or updated supermarket checkout machines, will be widespread because some people prefer such robots to humans for economic, social, personal, military, or other reasons, while other people strenuously object to dealing with such robots. And I think that we are seeing that, right? Like, there are definitely groups of people. Now, maybe it is more younger people that are more likely to use a robot. I wonder what the demographic breakdowns are of these surveys when they talk to people about using automated checkouts. I would be willing to bet that younger people, more so than older folks, are more willing to use the automated checkout. And whether that has to do with an elderly person's perceived inability to operate the checkout, they may not like computers, I'm sure that's a factor.
I think it's very much that, because I was just thinking about the reality that so many of these places like Walmart, Hannaford's, Market Basket, well, not Market Basket, but they have 20, 30 cashier lines, right? But none of them ever have cashiers working. You go into Walmart, mm-hmm. they've got 20 lanes, but maybe three of them are open with actual human beings. So people right. get frustrated. They start looking for alternative solutions. They go, well, I guess I'll try this self-checkout instead of waiting in line for an hour. And then sure. they try, and they're like, well, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
So this reality where people are preferring robots, these very companies created it.
They're incentivizing the robots.
Yeah.
Well, which makes sense because they don't want to pay a person, right? The robot just sits there, and yeah, you got to fix it when it breaks on occasion, but you only have to pay one person to do that instead of the 10 cashiers that that area might replace. What is it? When you go to the Walmart here in Keene, it's at least, I think, 6 or 7 or 8 different checkout, self-checkout areas in sort of this roundabout.
So. And one person that goes around and fixes things yeah. when error screens pop yeah. up.
They got the one person there to yep. To eyeball it.
Meanwhile, they do have actual cashiers there, usually 2 or 3 that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Scattered around throughout the 20, 25 lanes that should be open, that could be open. But no, Walmart got rid of those employees and put in these self-checkouts. So we started using them, and now they're like, hey, turns out everyone prefers these. Well, maybe you just took away all of the other options.
Well, I definitely would say I prefer the robots, to be honest. Unless I have a whole bunch of groceries, which only really happens at Market Basket, but if I have a whole bunch of groceries, I don't want to go through the robots. But if I only have, like, one basket full or less, then I definitely prefer the robots. It's just a personal thing because it's faster, not because I'm like, I don't want to talk to a human being. You don't even really have to talk to cashiers.
That's my point. If they had 30 lanes open, if there were 30 different people and there weren't any lines, it wouldn't be any faster to go there.
Yeah.
It probably would be slower to go to a self-checkout because the human who works there is going to be better at it than you are. They're going to know how to use that user interface faster and more efficiently.
That's a good point. So if it was just as fast, I don't know which opinion I would have.
If you want to join the show, maybe you're working in one of these industries and you get to see this all day long. Because we only get to see it when we're there.
Yeah.
You know, when we're walking up to the front of the store, we observe what the situation is and we make our decision based on that. But if you're in there all day and you get to see how customers are behaving generally, feel free to call in. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. But, I mean, the writing's on the wall here. We know this is the direction things are going. It wasn't, what, 2 or so weeks ago that Fort Worth, Texas, there's a McDonald's there that they've now turned into an automated drive-through window, meaning that there's an actual conveyor belt that will just simply roll your food right on over to you at the window for you to pick up.
So that makes it even less appetizing to me.
Yeah, doesn't it? Even though you know that the people in the restaurant could be dropping hairs and, you know, they're spitting in the food or whatever, right? Things like that do happen. But the robot itself is actually turning you off from eating the food.
It makes it seem more like it's like plastic or factory-made
yeah,
food.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't eat McDonald's right now, so I wouldn't. It's not appetizing to me, but if it was like my favorite restaurant and I could have a person back there or just a conveyor belt deliver it to me, I don't think the conveyor belt's going to be as appealing.
I don't know. The whole concept of McDonald's is unappealing.
Sure, sure.
They really are. And I have a friend who like eats there at least once a week. I'm convinced he eats there multiple times a week, but he only eats there once a week. Okay, whatever. But I just don't understand how a person does it. It's so disgusting. Everything about it is disgusting. It's designed to be as inoffensive, as plain and ordinary as possible.
Let's go to the phones here. We got somebody on the line. What's your name, caller? Hello?
Yeah, my name is Ian.
You're on the air.
Yeah, I was just calling about the self-checkout things.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not saying all people are like this, but definitely some people are. You know, a lot of people are stealing from these places.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the cashiers, you don't have a problem with stealing. But with the self-checkouts and all that, there's definitely more of a chance for everyone to be not scanning things. And, I mean, they even have an excuse because they're not trained. They're not cashiers. So.
That's a good point. I didn't think about this at all because there have been lots of people that I knew that were just like, I didn't scan this.
No,
on purpose.
Caller, are you someone who works in the industry?
No, I've been listening to what you guys have been saying about these, the automated systems and stuff like that, and it just makes sense to me, with the, it's very easy for especially older people who aren't used to it to miss-scan things, mm-hmm. and then even people that have, they're trying to steal, they're just going to not scan things. And
sure.
Sometimes mistakes happen. One time I went to Walmart and I bought some allergy meds, and they ended up at the bottom of the basket, and it wasn't until I was emptying out the basket, 2 hours later, out of my car, that I was mm-hmm. like, oh, I forgot to ring those up. They were like 97 cents, so it's not like Walmart lost a lot of money or anything like that, but it was just a genuine, honest mistake. Yeah.
Well, okay, so here's what I would say to that is, I have worked in retail, and back when I worked in retail, it was long before this technology actually transpired, but, cashiers will steal from you as well. I mean, it's important to point out that employee theft is a real problem, not so much that they might be lifting cash out of the drawer, because they usually get caught doing that, but, employees have stolen and will likely steal into the future. So if you get rid of employees, you get rid of employee theft at the very least. And secondly, they do have, most stores do have a monitoring employee in that area. Now, to be fair, if you're one guy, like we mentioned, the Walmart here in town has, I feel like, 6 to 8 checkouts.
They have one person overseeing it.
And there's one person. So it's going to be hard for that one person to be paying attention to every single cart and looking to see, oh, excuse me, ma'am, you left this in the bottom of your cart. Now, obviously, if somebody sticks something in their purse, then they're not going to be able to know that that's there at all.
And the other day, I went to Walmart with my dog, Coconut, and the lady that was supposed to be overseeing the self-checkout spent the entire time I was checking out petting Coconut and talking about him and okay, pet him. She wasn't looking at the other people's cards. I didn't think about it at the time.
And I don't think that's, and again, if this would be a question for somebody that works in the business, I would suggest that is not the main purpose of that person. That person's there to make sure that, error screens coming up are dealt with and that kind of thing. They're not so much watching because they know that most customers are honest and they're going to act in an honest manner. The dishonest
ones. And they're not supposed to, like, you're trained. If somebody steals, you don't, stop them physically. What are they going to do? They don't want to get themselves in a dangerous situation. You don't want to tackle someone because they're stealing.
Generally, you don't. I have seen people be detained in the past when I was working.
Well, when I worked at Walmart, everywhere that I've worked with a stealing component, they will tell you, if somebody's stealing, take mental notes about them, but do not approach them. Do not try to stop them because it's not worth your life.
Specifically, it was the loss control guy who would do it. It wouldn't just be some random person. But hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate hearing from you here tonight. The number is 603-283-6160. And most of the people who are going to steal have probably already pocketed the thing that they're going to steal before they get to the checkout. So having the person looking for that isn't likely going to do that much. But if you want to weigh in, feel free to join us. Hour 3 is coming up.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamgaday.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your longevity business. Teamgaday.com. Teamgaday.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.